some brand new Bibles with the latest NIV version, and take a look at that. Test your eyesight. As Michael was speaking, I said, "Where is that?" Okay, I should be the only one who know about that, but it took me a while. So yeah, take it out and try use it. It's Colossians, that's page 819. It's difficult to find because it's only 3 pages among the prison letters from Paul. Today we're going to talk about prayer. So when do you pray? When do you pray? Or when do you ask for prayers? Do you pray a lot? Do you pray often? Anyone? I guess so. Do you ask for prayer often? Yeah, you do. But a lot of the time that we only pray when we are in trouble. Especially when we are in deep trouble, when we feel that things are out of control, and we ask for prayer, we make calls, we send messages, we say, like, "Can you pray for us? I'm in the hospital." Those are the times. Maybe that's why, when we call in the past few weeks, all the prayer requests is like they are in trouble, and they ask me to pray for them. And some people even come and they said, "You need to pray for me." I said, "No, I pray with you." There's a brother, he came this week, on Friday, and he mentioned different things in his life, and I actually prayed with him around a month ago, and for that particular thing, God actually answered that gracefully, and it's just great. But it seems that he fall into another trouble now. That's us, right? When was the last time that a brother or sister came to you and asked you to pray for them? That they actually want to know God more. Like, instead of asking you to pray for he having like sickness or like different things, he asks you that, "Can you pray for me because I want to know God more deeply?" When was the last time? Maybe among your accountability group, your fellowship, maybe you would do that, maybe like during Bible study. But it seems that only those people who are newly converted, newly baptized, they will ask for prayer like this, like asking to know God more. And even sometimes non-Christian ask me that question. Ask me to pray for them because they want to know God more. They want to know Jesus more. But for most people, we only pray for knowing God more before Sunday service, before Bible study, that's all. So that's the question. When you pray for one another, how often you pray for others' physical needs, or how often you pray for their spiritual needs? More physical needs or more spiritual needs? We surely know, you know here in your brain that the answer that you should pray more about their spiritual needs because that's more important. What we need to ask God is not the protection against COVID. We should ask God to strengthen our faith in Him during those circumstances. So when do you ask for a stronger faith? At time that you face problem, at time when your life hit a wall. But life is not a game that you just pick up and then you can play it well. I heard from some of us, like on Friday, you play some game that you can just pick it up and then you can play and you enjoy it. But for life, you need some preparation. My family went to Mount Hupehu last week. I took a few days off, and that was my kids' first time to ski. And so what was the first things I need to teach them? Do you know? Safety, teach them safety. Safety doesn't be safe. It doesn't work, right? What I need to teach them? How to start, right? And how to forward, like. And can they learn it after they start pick up some speed, and then I start to teach them? It will be too late. I probably cannot run as fast. Certainly, I taught them how to stop. And another thing I taught them about is how to get back up after you fall down. Same principle. If I only teach them after they fall down on a slope and then they try to get up, it's very difficult. You need to practice the technique on a relatively flat ground. Many of us don't see the need of growth when we are on the flat ground. We say we can learn it when we need that. Just like my youngest kid, Jedediah, he preferred trial and error. He just refused to learn anything. He said, well, I have my own style. I can see, I can stop. And well, you can do that when you're in Happy Valley. You've been in Happy Valley, the beginner ski field. But the story will be very different when you're in the mountain. So I hope when I give him the pass to go up to the mountain, I won't give him the pass unless he was willing to learn a little bit of things. In our lives, when we are in Happy Valley, a lot of time we don't ask for a stronger faith, a deeper knowing of God. Somehow we only pray for one another for a stronger faith when they have serious trouble. We don't prepare. You think we're fine now. C.S. Lewis once wrote in a letter to his friend, he said, I especially need your prayer because I'm traveling across a plain called East. Life is smooth, but I need your prayer, especially in that time. We grow in our faith first, fundamentally, during the normal, peaceful times. That's why I care about my kids in Happy Valley. I didn't just give them ski and let them go. On the first day, my daughter actually did very well. We managed to ski down basically with one single technique, that's the triangle, the pizza, to stop. I try to teach her a little bit more, because we all know that that's not all she needs. I eagerly want her to know more. But because I haven't skied for 20 years, so I couldn't show her the moves. I only have that literally, that's all I have. I tried once to stop like that, and I fell down. Yeah, I mean, I cannot demonstrate. I could only show her some YouTube video, but it didn't help much. Not much I can do. So, after 2 days, that's all she got. And exactly the same for Paul. There was not much Paul could do at that time for Colossians. He cared so much about a new believer in Colossae. He knew that they have heard the gospel. They understood God's grace. But Paul wanted to teach them more. But he couldn't, because he was in the prison. He couldn't go there. Instead of asking them to pray for him so that God will free him to come to visit you and teach him, Paul prayed for them instead. Paul wrote in verse 9, if you have your Bible, you can flip to that to read verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Paul and Timothy pray for the Colossians regularly, for the new believers. The new believers are not in big trouble. They just heard about the gospel. They just understood God's grace. And Paul and Timothy pray for the Colossians regularly. What is that telling us? It tells us that Paul trusts in the mystery of prayer. Paul trusted in the mystery of prayer. I never know how prayer works. I know about how mobile phone one can talk to the other. I can explain to you in detail. But I don't know how God managed to listen to every single word in my mouth and from my heart. Anybody know the mechanism of that? I mean, you can describe it because God is everywhere, God is omnipresent. But the mechanism, I don't know. I don't have an experiment to prove that. But if you or I pray regularly and never stop praying, that means we trust in prayer. Do you trust in prayer? Do you trust in prayer? When Paul was in prison, he wrote to the new Christians. He wrote down everything that they need to know. He asked someone to bring the letter to them so that they could learn from what he wrote down. This should be good enough, right? Just like in the Cantonese service, I start to distribute a book called The Good and Beautiful God. It's a discipleship book, and I asked the fellowship group to study about that. and I send it out, just like Paul, go and read that and then you will know more about God. Is that all that I should do? When I think about that, I feel that I haven't prayed enough for them. I just send out the book and then leave it. But Paul prayed for them, never stopped it praying. Why is that? Although he couldn't be with the Colossians in person, Paul knew that God is with them. And he knew that God is with him too. So God can help the Colossians to be more mature. It's not just the word on the letter. God is with the new Christian. God is with Paul. God is with us. And God is with those people that we pray for. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God listens to your prayer? Because if you don't, then your prayer is just like a task to be taken off before the meal, before you go to bed. Your prayer will be filled with empty words. You're just trying your luck and see whether it works or not. Like, I prayed that and see whether God will answer my prayer. If you don't, trust that. But if you truly believe that God is with us, that God is with those people who we pray for, and God is powerful enough to do anything He wants, and God loves us and God loves them, you will certainly pray for one another. Just like my kids. They will come to me to ask for candy for their siblings. Because they know that I love them and I have the candies. I can't get candies. And I love them and I also love their siblings, their brothers and sisters. That's the same reason. If I never give it to them, they won't come to me. God is a good God. When I was in Hong Kong, there was one time I asked my pastor to tell a brother to make some change, to do something. I said, well, it's not feeling so right. Can you teach him about that? And then, you know, I cannot recall what that specific thing is. You know what my pastor said? He said, go and tell God. Go and pray to God, and God will do His thing. I said, what we do? I mean, if you see someone, I mean, they're in trouble. One way is that you go to them, or some people will just come to the pastor or to the group leader, to the ex-con and say, oh, can you fix that? I mean, not fix that person or the issue or whatever. But do you pray to God? Tell God so that God will tell that person. Do you believe that? If you want something to be changed, you truly believe that there's something that needed to be changed, you should tell God. We're having an ex-con meeting in the afternoon. If you think there's something in church that should be changed, certainly you should go to the ex-con. We encourage you to go to the ex-con or the pastor. But another thing is, you can pray to God. Do you do that? Pray to God that so that God will tell me or talk to Jonathan or other ex-con. Like, that's something we need to look after. Do you believe that? If you believe that, it's natural. It's naturally what we would do if we believe in prayer. Do you? Paul believed in prayer. He prayed for the new believer. The chains in the prison couldn't stop him from praying for one another. And for us, if we believe in prayer, we can pray for our canonist speaking brothers and sisters. And that's no language barrier, because God knows every language. So what should we pray for? What did Paul pray about? He didn't just pray that God would give them good day or like good health or a stable job. For this particular church, his prayer is focused and intentional on one thing. If you read on the second half of verse 9, it said, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Paul knew what was essential, the spiritual growth of his fellow Christians. Why is that essential? Because as we live in this world, well, we have to live in this world. If you remember what Jesus prayed for us before He was arrested. In John 17, Jesus said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Jesus prayed to the Father. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So don't pray for the thing that will take you out of the world. Don't pray that you won't get COVID. That's like out of the world. I mean, don't pray that you will always have a stable job. It's not something, I mean, a lot of people, they don't have a stable income. As a Christ follower in this world, we should expect the worst could happen to us. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 to 10, he said, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." We always carry in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Because of Jesus, we'll be struck down. And we've thought about that. But because of Jesus, we won't be destroyed. Struck down, but not destroyed. We may be struck down in this physical world, but we will not be destroyed in a spiritual battle. Sometimes we forget that we are in a spiritual battle. The evil one always wants to take us away. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Prayer. Prayer is our best weapon. Not just for ourselves, but also for our fellow brothers and sisters. That's why Paul asked God on behalf of the Christian in Colossae. He said, "We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you can live a life that's worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way." In every way. Please God in every way. We should pray for each other about that. We should pray for each other that in their life, they please God in every way. And Paul lists four specific ways. First one, bearing fruit in every good work. We should pray for our brothers and sisters that they will bear fruit in every good work. A healthy Christian should bear fruit all the time in their life. They learn it, we learn it, and then we do it accordingly. Do you pray for your brother to act on what he has learned? When your brother is, if a brother shares with you that he had an argument with his parents, do you pray that he can love themselves just as much as Jesus loved them? Do you pray that they have the patience, they have self-control? How do you pray for them? Or you just pray for, God, I pray that they will have a good relationship. Bearing fruit in every good work. The second one is growing in the knowledge of God. We should also pray for our brother and sister for their growth in the knowledge of God. When you truly know God, you will do His will. And when you do His will, you will know more about God. You will experience God. That cycle keep going. Do you pray for your brother and sister that they will read more Bible? That they will want to devote more time to know about God? The third one. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. As we understand God's will, we need to be strong enough to obey. We understand that we need to obey. So we need to be strengthened. Because none of us is strong enough. We cannot do it on our own. We can only be strengthened through God. Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that we can have great endurance and patience. Do you pray for a brother and sister that they can cope with different circumstances and be content in all circumstances? Well, we pray for that only when they are in deep trouble. We ask God to lift us out of the bad time, out of the tough time. But Paul knew that the glory of God displays when His people show great endurance and patience throughout the tough time. Not just being lifted out of the tough time, but during those tough times, it shows whether you are his people or not. So when your brother is in those tough times, don't forget to pray for him. The fourth one is like to pray for your brother and sister that he would actually give thanks, give joyful thanks to the Father. He said, because God has rescued him from darkness and brought him into his kingdom. So four specific ways to pray for your brothers and sisters. Have you done that? Have you been doing that regularly? Pray for your brother and sister in different ways so that they please God in every way. That's not easy. When we pray for each other, we actually, in Christ, we bear the burden of each other. If you truly pray for someone, you just don't like give like 10 seconds pray for them. Okay, God, I mean, help them to read more Bible, know more about you. Amen. You get into themselves. Paul mentioned a fellow worker called Epaphra. And at the end of the letter of Colossians, Paul wrote that Epaphra, who's one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. He's always wrestling in prayer for you. So for himself, when you pray for someone, your brother and sister, you put yourself in the same boat. You're wrestling in prayer for them. Obviously, that brother is a prayer warrior. And Paul also said he's working hard for his fellow brothers. When we said working hard, we usually don't think about prayer. But that brother, Epaphra, he's a prayer warrior. He prayed for his brother and sister as it's like hard work to do. He's like putting so much effort in that. That's the core of prayer. That's hard work. That's a struggle for your brothers and sisters. Are you willing to join this work? To serve your brother and sister with prayer, with the most powerful spiritual weapon. Let's pray together. Lord, a lot of the time that we didn't realize that prayer is so powerful. Because we pray to you, and God, you are powerful and you are the loving God. So Lord, help us to practice from now on to learn from Paul, Timothy, and Epaphra that we pray hard for our brothers and sisters. In your name we pray. Amen.